Hi everyone, welcome back to Angola, West Africa. I'm Douglas Black, your host. This week we had a great conversation with a very good friend of mine, Mr. Angelo Gama, the CEO of Angola Cables. We think you'll find the conversation very interesting and informative. First, a few words about our sponsor, High Performance Services, HPS Angola. HPS is based right here in Luanda and has been providing quality professional services, fiber, VSAT, and internet access onshore and offshore since 2012. HPS is fully licensed by Intercom, registered for importation, registered with the Ministry of Petroleum, and is current with all of its tax payments at AGT. Which all this means less risk for you and that HPS is ready to support your requirements without hurting your reputation in Angola. HPS is fully insured to the levels required by our international clients and can provide certificates. Angola is still a bit unregulated in many areas, a little bit like the Wild West, so do the proper background checks and pick HPS to be safe and sure. Based in Luanda, HPS speaks your language in Angola. Go to HPS's website today, www.hps-angola.com, for more information about their services and how to contact them. In 2020, HPS had record revenues during the pandemic, and this is only possible because of the service provided and the confidence of HPS's customers. You invested much to make it this far in Angola. Don't risk it with an unknown. Trust HPS to get the job done right. Contact HPS today to understand how they can help your business in Angola. Hello, this is Doug Black. Welcome back to the podcast, Angola, West Africa. It's my pleasure to welcome Mr. Angelo Gama, the CEO of Angola Cables today. Angelo, thank you very much for being with us, and thank you for taking the time to speak with us today.
Oh, you're welcome. It's all my pleasure.
Great. Yeah, Angelo's a very good friend of mine. We've known each other for many years, so I'm so pleased to have him on the show today. Angelo, why don't we get started by you giving the audience a benefit of your background and experience, what you've done over the years in Angola.
Okay, Doug. So I arrived here in 2005, it was 16 years ago. I only came for a short visit, kind of. I started as operation director of MS Telecom. MS Telecom is the telecom operator for Sonangol. Sonangol is the oil incumbent operator in Angola, and they have a lot of diverse companies from their main business. They are in the aviation. They are in shipping. And they also have a telecom company named MES Telecom, Mercury Sistemas Telecomunicações. So I joined Mercury mainly to head the strategic business of deploying a fiber cable across the whole country. So I joined as the operation director. Responsible for this project, then we created the engineering team, then I moved on to the engineering department as a director as well. So I became the CTO of the company, and I was there for many years. So we would deploy a huge and vast immense network in Angola, going from the south frontier to the northern for frontier, interconnecting both neighboring countries that we have in Angola. And I stayed there for doing a lot of projects. That's when I met you, Doug. Since 4 years ago, when I joined then NetOne as the general director. NetOne is one local ISP operator. Actually, the first ISP operator in Angola operating with WiMAX. It was always... All with radio frequency. We didn't have any fixed line network in terms of FTTH. It was all wireless. And then 2 years ago, after my time with NetOne, I was invited to come to Angola Cables as the CTO. Because of my previous experience in operating cables, fiber optic cables. And then last year, was invited to become the CEO of Angola Cables. So this is my trajectory in Angola. Before that, I was living in Europe. After my graduation in Portugal, I had several jobs in Portugal, and as a young guy, a young man in Europe, you tend to travel and acquire experience because Europe is such such a, you have well, with the European Union, you have an opportunity to go and work in other countries as it was your own country. So I then left Portugal, and then I work in Holland, in Belgium, in a little bit in France and England as well before I came back to Angola.
That's fantastic. I listening to you talk about your background and experience, I would categorize you as a Renaissance man for Angola. And I know what you're talking about in Europe. I equate it to the individual states in the US. You can travel between one, or you can work in one or the other, and it just gives you a whole lot of opportunities. Now, talking about Angola, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I just think because of what you're saying, once I was actually working in Holland and living in England.
Yeah, I mean, that's when England was still part of the European Union
European
before
Union,
Brexit.
yeah, before
But
Brexit, yeah.
yeah, for that's many Americans, they don't travel enough, but the European Union is a lot of freedom between the various countries to work, travel. You don't need the passports, so it's a very good environment. Now, going back to Angola Cables, Angelo, give us. For the foreign listeners that listen to our show, what's the history of Angola Cables? How did it get started? What's its mission? Where is it at today? If you can say a little bit about that.
Yes, of course I can. Just going back to the first days, there was this opportunity in Angola. There was in Africa, the major telecom operators, they were building a consortium because SAT3, which was the previous cable here in West Coast, just didn't have enough capacity for all the demand that the African economies were having by that time. So what happened then? They joined the major telecom operators. They joined together and decided to invest in a new cable. So they addressed all the countries in Africa and Western countries of Africa, asking if they wanted to come along. And in Angola, it was a wise decision by them to realize that. Why only one company goes for it? Why don't we build a consortium, and that consortium will be responsible for operating or for participating in the WACS cable? And that was done. So all the five major companies in Angola were invited to participate in that consortium, and that was Angola Telecom, Unitel, Movisel, MES Telecom, and Mundo Startel. They were invited to participate, and they all joined this project. And funny enough, I was also part by working as a CTO of MS Telecom. I was also part of this project initially, and so we designed the CLS, the cable landing station. We designed the routing for where the cable was going to pass, the submarine cable was going to pass. We even designed the SLTE, which is the whole the telecommunication system that will that is I don't know if how far can I go with this explanation, but we also designed the system in Angola that will accommodate the submarine cable. And then after that, the project ended, and a new company started, Angola Cables. And then we left because we were only part of the project on the project phase. After launching and after the launching the company, so the project was closed. And then, funny enough, 10 years later, I joined the company again as the CTO. to see what we've left behind 10 years before. And Angola Cables is here. It's a bigger company. It has it owns one submarine cable, which is actually something new in Africa. This submarine cable, SACS, kind of revolutionized the southern hemisphere, because it was the first cable, and it is in Guinness World of Records. It's the first cable that connects Africa directly to America, South America. There was before SACS, there was no other cable that ever done this in the world. So we were pioneer to do that. So then we have WAX, which is the cable that started all these Angola Cables consortium. And then Angola Cables built SACS from Angola to Brazil directly. And then we joined in Brazil another consortium with Google and some local operators in Brazil and Argentina and Uruguay, to go from São Paulo, passing by Fortaleza, and then going all the way up to Miami. So now we are owners and co-owners of three submarine cables. In the process, we also develop a network to interconnect and to close these rings. So if you look in Africa, if you look at the world, you see that you have Africa, Europe, and American, South American, and North American continent. So we also rent capacity in the North American continent from US to Europe, so that we can close the ring. So now we have a full redundant network across Atlantic, across the Atlantic, and with that, we also doing a lot of peering. And peering in terms of sourcing of internet, and our main source of revenue now is actually selling internet and circuits, because we have all that much capacity in the submarine cables. Alongside, we also build a data center in Fortaleza, which is a nice view. If you guys ever go to Fortaleza, for sure you will come across our data center. It's nice to look at. It's a Tier 3 certified already, and we are very proud of having that data center in Fortaleza. It's like a Angolan investment in Brazil in technologies. So it's before that you didn't see nothing like that, but now we are the living proof that Angola doesn't not only invest in oil market, in the oil industry, but also invest in the new tendencies in data centers, in clouds, and submarine cables. So we are the living proof that there's also other types of investment in Africa, in Angola, from Angola, in Africa, and across the world, besides oil, petrol.
That's all fantastic. I've been watching Angola Cables for many years, and I'm very impressed by the forward thinking that the company has, and the technology deployment, and the leading edge that it's taken for the African continent. I don't think there's another company in Africa that's doing as much as Angola Telecom, Angola Cables is doing now to connect the African continent to the rest of the world. Congratulations to you guys. It's great. You've got a NAP there in Talatona. I know. Yeah, almost every day I drive by it when I'm down there. That was the original NAP, wasn't it? Our network access point.
Yes. It's Angonap. That's how we call it, because it's Angola Cable, so we call it Angonap. And actually, inside this Angonap is where we do all this interconnection. Inside Angonap, we have Angonix, which is our local IXP, and we are proud to say that Microsoft is now in Angola with their own IS number, announcing in our Angonix. So we have a local ISP, which is, for the last time we look at, we were like ranked on number 6 in Africa, from 6 to 8. So it always depends, but it is very good for us and very important for us as for these 10 years from our existence, we already have a very strong footprint not just here in Africa, but also in Brazil. And I can also say that our network, our global network, just overcome the mark of 1.5 terabits per second. So it is also something very, well, that we're very proud that we have on our network more than 1.5 terabits per second of our customers' data going to our network every day. So this is a mark that that really makes us proud of having achieved this.
Yes, and you should be very proud. Now, you talked somewhat about the network. I can remember the days not too long ago when we only had two connections from Angola to the rest of the world. I think it was WAX and SARS. And now you were talking about SACS. And everyone in the past was concerned about, well, if one cuts, you know, we're going to be out of service. Sometimes they both would be out of service. Can you talk a little bit now about the connectivity and how you're minimizing the outages if one cable is out of service for a while, and how you're protecting our customers' traffic? Can you say a little bit about that, Angelo?
Well, what I can say for that is like last year we have an outage that was very uncommon. It was really not normal. So for those two cables we have here in Western Africa, both of them, they were cut almost in the same place, in the same area, in the same area. So we just stayed the whole of West Africa. At least the southern part of West Africa stay without communication from submarine cables. As we have SACS, we immediately reroute all our customers, immediately reroute all our South African customers and Namibian customers to SACS, to Brazil, from Brazil to US and US back to Europe. So with that, we are able really to prove that SACS has a meaning and a reason for being, because it allows us to have diversity and a redundancy of routes here in Africa. And if something happens to the main cables, we can reroute all our traffic to the Americas and from the American back to Europe. So this is something that that was needed here in Africa. But of course, As we all know that in the future we'll have more cables coming through, Ekianu and to Africa. So there'll be more than that. There'll be a lot more redundancy. But for sure, no one else can offer a direct link from Africa to Brazil like we are doing now.
I remember now that outage that you talked about. I can remember when both cables were cut. We had some clients that were working with you, and the traffic went over SACS, and basically it was not even apparent that there was an outage. So
that was interesting because people, they didn't notice. Well, they noticed some latency and on initial before we optimized those links. But Angola was just passing through this huge outage. Without affecting the critical services here in Angola. So it was something that that people, they didn't notice that both submarine cables in Africa, they were cut at the same time because we had an alternative route to leave the country and the continent.
Right. I can remember checking with our customers and making sure they were passing traffic okay, and they were fine. They weren't even aware of the outage. So things continue to improve. And like you said, there'll be more cables coming in, I'm sure, at some point in time. But the international connectivity of Angola has certainly improved over the last 5 to 10 years. So it's very good. Now, you talked about the NAP in Fortaleza. Can you say a little bit about what services are available to people out of the Fortaleza NAP? Are you offering services there, or is it just a transfer point going on to the US and Europe?
One thing about our network is like we are able to offer services Everywhere we are located, so everywhere we have a POP, we are able to offer services there. So this is something that people that they don't know, but our network is done on a way that we can offer services everywhere we are. So the same services we are selling here in Angola or in Africa, we have the same ones in Brazil in our NAP. With one added one is the colocation, it's cloud service that we are also servicing in Brazil. But as you know, from Brazil to Angola, we only have 63 milliseconds out of latency, so it's barely nothing. So the same cloud services we are offering in Brazil, we can offer the same ones here in Angola. For us and the customer, they will not notice any difference, and that will allow us to have something that it's needed, such disaster recovery. If you have your operation here in Angola, but you're doing disaster recovery in another data center here in Luanda, but if you want to really to have a secure, you just move your DR site across the other side of the Atlantic, and then we'll be there. We have all the facilities and the ways and means to have all your data secure and replicated in Brazil. And the same thing we can do the same thing from Brazil to Angola. So a good thing with our network is our infrastructure that we've built. We are able to provide services, the same type of services everywhere we are, and we are in Europe. We are connected to the main data centers in the world. We are in America. In America, we are connected. We are in Miami. We are in New York. We are in Ashburn, and we are able to provide services there as well. So we are in Brazil. In Brazil, we have a lot of points of presence in Brazil. Rio, São Paulo, Santos, Fortaleza, and always opening more. So São Paulo, we have more than one. Always opening more sites, more points of presence everywhere we are to increase our capillarity and increase the connectivity to our potential customers. Because we have so much points of presence, because we are co-located in the biggest data centers across the Atlantic continent, we just developed a new product that we launched a few months ago. And this problems, this product is something really interesting. If you are a small company or just a startup, or you have some special needs of being in Brazil, like you are now in Rio de Janeiro, but you need to connect to a customer. You have an office in Johannesburg, you have an office in Luanda, another one in Portugal, Equinix or Madrid or even Frankfurt, Amsterdam or London. These places I'm saying is because we are co-located there, so we have infrastructure there, we have points of presence there. So what we can do for you is we can interconnect you directly in those points. You don't need to be there by yourself physically. We can join you. We can bring your services directly to those data centers without you having to be there, without the need of you having to build your own infrastructure there. We can do everything virtualized and bringing you the connectivity to all these data centers across the globe, direct connectivity. So it's going to be like you have your own infrastructure in all these data centers, but we'll be managing these data centers interconnection by ourselves and providing you this connectivity.
That's really interesting, Angelo. This is all new to me as well. This brings a question to mind. Your sales force, how do you handle sales? How do you inform potential clients that you have these capabilities? And I'm thinking about, you know, the energy companies in Houston, Texas, or in Louisiana. How do you inform them that you have this, and how do you sell to them? How do you sell outside of Luanda or outside of Angola? Are you Are you actively selling outside of Angola?
Yeah, of course. I mean, we are an international company. We, as I said, and the good thing about Angola Cables is like we have a very strong relationships with a lot of international and big companies. So we and one thing is I'm really proud of. I realize that and it's becoming even bigger every day that goes by, is by belonging to those consortiums and by being present in international market as we are, you are allowed to sit with these hyperscale companies. So a small company coming from Angola, well, not so small as I'm saying, but a company coming from Angola in Africa, to be able to sit down at the same table with the companies like Google, Facebook, Microsoft, and even debating with them the possibilities of constructing new cables, how to do business, and what are our thoughts and views of the way the market is evolving. So that means that Angola Cable has a reputation across the globe that is really a mark. And I can tell you that when somebody like Amazon calls you asking for a quotation from Miami to Brazil, and you know that there are several cables from American companies and other foreign companies which are able to provide the same circuits to them, the same capacity to them, but they want to talk with you. So it's like you have really achieved something in the world. You have really proven that although you come from a third world developing country, you are recognized by the quality of the services that you provide, by the quality of your vendors and the quality of your engineers, then that they are able to prove to these hyperscale companies that you are able to provide the same type of service with the same quality as any other international company is doing right these days in the world. So for us, it's really something that being recognized by the quality of our work, being recognized by the quality of our service, and the quality of our salespeople, it's really very good. Knowing that we are coming really from Africa, and just because of that, maybe the viewings, the interpretation of our potential customers would be different. But we have proven to them along these years that they don't have nothing to be fear about, and we are definitely providing services of very good quality. So going back to your question directly, yes, we participate in almost all the events, commercial events for the wholesale market, being just on for submarine cables or being on a wholesale generally. So we participate in that. Those events is where we make we take a lot of leads, and then we follow up those leads with our commercial people. We then also have agents, commercial agents in the countries where we don't have a local presence, like US, like here in Africa, some other countries, Nigeria, Ghana, also countries where we are, Brazil and South Africa. So we also have agents. And then the rest is our sales force capacity that we go after customers, we go after leads, we have our website, and we contact customers. And then now we can say that we customers they call us for so that we can provide them a quotation for whatever services they require, that they know we have the capacity to do that. So it's very good to be at the level that we are now.
Okay. Now, I don't know if you can speak to this, but can you give us an idea over the last 2 to 5 years, how has the traffic grown for and Angola Cables? Has it grown 20% a year, 50% a year? It sounds like it's been a big growth over the last 2 to 5 years. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, I can tell you that the growth was kind of normal In terms of Olinia, to be more precise, till 2020, or before the COVID. And you know, with COVID, everything changed, right, in the world. So there was a new tendencies, the people, they start working at home. And then mainly in Brazil, this is where we have our biggest infrastructure and biggest demand, there was an exponential increase on the overall capacity of the network being used in Brazil. So what happened with that was that we follow that tendency. So Brazil has now more than 16 teras of capacity being used in Brazil. We follow that tendency, and just in Brazil we overpassed now also 1 tera. So we had like a normal growth of 10-20% per year since 4 years ago. And since last year, the end of last year, beginning of this year, we have double our capacity. I don't know if you've seen that it's public. There was an announcement being made in Brazil that we are now negotiating an upgrade of our money capacity, really, because we've doubled in less than 1 year, the overall capacity we had in that submarine cable. So we are now not reaching a bottleneck, but we are reaching the thresholders, and we need to upgrade. So we had a 10-20% increase till 2019, and then at the end of 2020 we just double with the COVID thing. We double our capacity, for the whole company.
That, thinking back now, that makes sense, because there's a lot of business relationships between Brazil and Angola. And as you and I were talking before the show began, the frontier is closed due to the pandemic. So more Brazilians and Angolans are using the internet for work than ever before, because they just can't get flights, or they can't go direct anymore. So that makes sense. Going back to Monet, I did see an announcement or a press release to where you're starting to deploy Ciena equipment to help you in the capacity as well. I think I saw that somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we've selected Ciena as our partner, technology partner, to do the increase. We already had Ciena there, and after doing a round trip bid, evaluating the market, so they also provided the best proposal. So we've decided to continue to go along with them.
Okay, now you've talked about your network, the global presence, how products can be deployed anywhere along your network in any NAP. That brings to mind a question about the support infrastructure. What's your approach to supporting all of this? You know, the NOCs and the tech support and handling problems, and how is Angola Cables addressing that on this global infrastructure that you're deploying?
Yes, we have a NOC. We have a NOC. And now I can tell you, it didn't happen because we have acquired the experience. We have our own cable, like I said before, SACS. And in SACS, we're doing all the monitorization of the cable by ourselves. We haven't outsourced the NOC for SACS to any other entity. So we're doing everything on SACS ourselves. SACS is fully owned by Angola Cables, and nothing has been outsourced in terms of management of this cable. Of course, we don't have any submarine, any vessel. That part has to be outsourced, which is normal. But everything else, we're doing ourselves in terms of management, in terms of connecting circuits, in terms of the NOC and everything. So as we have this capacity, internal capacity, a few years ago, in 2019, we decided that we could also bid for providing NOx facilities for WACS. Unfortunately, we didn't get it because We have companies in the world that this is their main business, and they are prepared for that because they do this as a main business. Unfortunately, we didn't get it, but we were able to provide a proposal for the WACS consortium that we would we were able to do the knock function for the WACS cable. So by that, what do I mean? Yes, we are fully capable of providing knock functions 24 by 7. We have a whole lot of expertise in terms of our engineers. And by being part of three different systems, our engineers, they have been able to touch base, to work with different types of technologies, submarine technology. So we have our people be certified and expert in Huawei, Ciena, NEC, Alcatel. So whatever you name it, the main ones, we have certified technical people that are able to work, configure and troubleshoot those equipments from these vendors in terms of submarine cables technology. So yes, we have our customers, they can have a full guarantee that the services with us are well kept, being monitored 24 by 7, and we have a really good response time. Just before, we had like internal meeting here, and one of our KPIs is actually the uptime of our infrastructure, and then the uptime from our infrastructure was 100%, and we have people. Our colleagues, some were complaining, we cannot have 100% of uptime. And our CTO said, yes, our infrastructure, we have 100% of uptime. But unfortunately, the last miles to some of our customers, which don't belong to us, they don't have 100% of our uptime of availability. But for that, we cannot control. What we can control is wherever we have redundancy path, we provide this uptime. Wherever the customers that buy from us, they provide their own last mile, and they have redundancy. Okay, they can have these measurements, the 100%. But if not, then there's nothing we can do. So there's two ways we evaluate our availability. One is from our own network, and the other is the last miles that reach the customer. They go all the way up to the customer premises. And those ones, sometimes we cannot control. And when we can control, it's on our responsibility. If they don't reach the 3 nines or 4 nines mark in terms of availability, we'll change them immediately.
Okay, very good. I mean, 100% uptime, that's just remarkable. It's just another thing that points out how far Angola Communications have come. Angola Cables is leading the charge, and I'm not going to name any names, but I've had experience with other telecom companies in Angola, and if you're making 60, 70% uptime, you're lucky. So 100% is fantastic. Now, Angelo, what about staffing? How large is Angola Cables? How many people do you have on staff at the company?
Well, I can say that we have around 100 employees in Angola and around 30 other more in Brazil, a few ones in South Africa, and we are expanding. So we have plans to go to some other locations, mainly in Africa, as we already have a nice deployment in Brazil. So we see that Africa may be the next point of strategic investment where we have to really expand our network. Brazil, of course, because we built two submarine cables in Brazil, WACS, SACS and Monet. So we had to be in Brazil. We had to make business in Brazil. We have to try to monetize the investment that we've done. Now that the operation is there and it's stable and it's growing every day, which is something good, We have to look to the other geographies. We have to look at other locations. And Africa, for sure, it's one valid and good attractive location and continent. And we'll be expanding our network and our interests to Africa for the next couple of years.
Okay. Now, are your corporate headquarters still in Talatona? Is that where the headquarters building is located?
Yes. Talatona, and also our Anganap. Our NAP is also here in Talatona.
Okay. If one of our listeners is going to plan to be in Luanda and would like to come by and see your facilities, how would they get in contact with Angola Cables to arrange a visit?
Well, for us, it's very easy. Just you have all our contacts, direct contacts in our website. It's angolacables.co.au. You just need to go there. And once you're in, you have all our contacts, emails, and everything else. And then for sure, we will allow you to come and visit us and come and visit our infrastructure and everything else. So that you have an idea, we not now with COVID, but before the COVID, we had like almost monthly visits from university students that they want to come and learn more about submarine cables, learn more about the NOx, the NOx operating center, and learn more about the technology. So we at least once a month we were receiving university students. We are receiving companies to come and visit our facility. So we are open to everybody. Please come, not just to do business with us, but come and meet us, come and see us, come and talk with us. We are here, always welcoming people.
Good. And I mean, depending on the time of day, traffic can be a problem around Luanda, but I would say from the airport, your location, you could probably be there within 45 minutes to an hour, I would think, depending on traffic, isn't it?
Yes. Well, it depends on the day of the time. Because, as you know, yeah. Luanda can be tricky sometimes.
Yes, it can. Especially, I would say at between 7 and 8 in the morning and 3:30 to 6 in the evening. It's kind of tough. Now, we've talked on several subjects. We talked some about Angola Cables products. Can you give us a summary now of what are the principal products that Angola Cables is offering today that a company can take advantage of?
Well, okay. What are our main products that we have? So mainly on circuit level, you can do circuits, all type of circuits we do. So we do SDH, Ethernet circuits, layer 2 circuits. We're even doing layer 1 circuits these days. So with us, actually, you have a whole set of services that you can come and bring. We do also IP transit, and for the IP transit, I can say that we have a very good internet quality. As having all these POPs across the globe allow us to really filter the network that we have. So we have NNIs, connectivities, we have IXPs connectivities, and we're also buying We also buying source international internet source directly from tier ones, where we see that there's a few contents that we don't have on that network, so we go in and we go and do that. We have direct internet access. We have another product that allows our customers to connect directly to cloud servers, which we call it Cloud Connect. So if you are connected to Azure or any other cloud in your country, and this cloud is not hosted there directly, we can provide you direct connectivity to this cloud with a VPN, direct connectivity to this, we're using VPNs to this cloud. Because we are also there and we provide colocation in our own facilities, we also provide your remote hands, so you don't need to send your engineers across to the data centers. We can provide you we can provide you remote hands. So from circuits, IP, data centers, services, remote peerings, as we are directly connected to all major IXPs in the world, we have our own IXP locally, local here in Angola. We call it Angonix. So with Angonix, if you're based in Angola and you want to be connected to all major telecom providers, the banks, the biggest companies, without having to go abroad and then come back to Angola, so you just connect to our Angonix in our Angonap, and then for sure you all your traffic will be local, and you benefit of local connectivity for local operators and local entities in entities here in Angola. We also have then the Cloud Connect, as I said. The Cloud Connect, as I said, in Fortaleza, we are also connected to the main IXPs in Fortaleza. So if you wanna be in Fortaleza, and we have a Tier 3 data center to offer you in Fortaleza with cloud services, and also offering you the ability to connect directly to the major IXPs in Brazil. So I think in terms of everything that has to do with connectivity, direct circuits, internet access, remote peering, and cloud connects, we are able to provide you an end-to-end solutions, so you don't need to go and shop anywhere else. And now with this new service that we launch, that we interconnect data centers directly, you don't even need to go and have your own POP. We provide this facility to you, so you can have like a virtual router, and we interconnect you on these different locations, on these different data centers. We do all that for you, so you don't need to go, and you just need to worry about your main business and leave all the connectivity and the communication part for Angola Cables that we are able to provide you there.
That's fantastic. Your portfolio is quite full, and you take the complexity away from a lot of things, so the companies don't have to worry about it. You handle the complexities. Now, one thing that came to mind while you were talking, do you do multi-currency billing? How do you handle the billing on this international level? Do you do the currency that the customer is located in, or do you do it in kwanzas? Can you say a little bit about that?
Well, yes, Doug. When you are an international company, you have to work with all the currencies where you're located. So we do business in all currencies. What we're trying to do now to some of our providers, for instance, we're trying to have one global international account. So if we have the same company providing our services in Brazil, in US, and in Europe, or in Africa, we try to have just one contract, one global contract, with this provider, mainly like the data centers where we have our POPs localized in. For our customers, well, Brazilian customers, they pay us in real. American customers, they pay us in US dollars. South African customers, they pay us in ZAR. So European customers, they pay us in euros. Angolan customers, they pay us in Kwanzaa. So we're not fussy about the currency as long as we provide you the services, you're happy with that, and then at the end of the day, we just build you with the currency that you are for the country that we are providing the service to you.
Very good. That's great. I mean, you just closed the loop. So there really is no impediments to doing business with Angola Cables around the world. So that's fantastic. Now, we've talked about the history and what we're doing now. What's the future hold for Angola Cables? What's the strategic directions you think the company's going to be going in? What are the major challenges, both technology and business, that you see over the next 5 to 10 years? Can you give us a few words about what you see the vision to be going forward?
Well, yeah, I can. This is not a, a secret anymore. And our, it's not just, not everything is good. You see, the ecosystem is changing every day, and we need to be ready. We need to prepare ourselves for the future. As such, if we don't do, I also forgot to mention that it's not just providing the connectivity. We also provide you a DDoS protection to allow you to have safety in terms of DDoS. We also allows you to do that. So it's really an end-to-end solution, one-stop shop for Angola Cables. Okay, I'll stop talking about what we are offering. Let us talk about the future. So what are we going to do in the future? As I was saying, the future for the telecommunication wholesale market is not that bright. As you know, the technology is changing a lot. The submarine cables technology is changing a lot. It's becoming cheaper. The consortium are here to stay. Different type of consortium, not just the capacity consortium. The new consortium is like money, where each entity, each member, has their own fiber pair, and you are able to lit the fiber pair with whatever technology from whatever provider you require. And this is going all the way up to 20 terabits per fiber pair. So with that, you almost have unlimited capacity there. And the prices are dropping a lot and very fast. So what that means that that frontier, that wall that will prevent a medium type of telecom operator to have their own fiber, submarine fiber, will no longer be there. So as such, for not a very small amount, for a certain amount of money, you'll be able to have your own their fiber pair in a submarine cable that will allow you to get to or to leave your continent and go to another continent. So as such, things are going to change. The whole ecosystem is going to change, and we have to make ourselves ready for this change. In the past, our bigger customers, they didn't own fiber pairs, and they were the OTT companies. Now the OTT companies, they're not our competition, but they are partners in those submarine cables. So they have now, if we can count how many miles or submarine kilometers or submarine miles Google has in terms of fiber cables, Facebook or even Microsoft, which is now also investing a lot in submarine cables, you see that maybe they are the biggest submarine cables operators in the world. So the whole submarine cable business market is changing a lot. And how do we see ourselves in the future? We see ourselves in the future first transforming the company. We will have to stop just being a telecom operator to become a digital service provider. Not just offering telecommunication circuits, we have to offer digital services that will make use of our infrastructure, but will add service, add value for our customers for something that they need. So just not just staying inside the telecommunication ecosystem is really bringing all the new functionalities, the digitalization to our company, and then being able to offer these digital services to our customers. So we are preparing that. We are transforming the company so that in the near future we are going to be able to provide this type of services. We already started. So if you see that we have some new products like the IP gamer. So it's not just providing you solution. It's not just providing you the connectivity. The internet is actually providing you a dedicated internet for you to reach the gaming servers in the world. So it's going back a virtual router. Does that as well. So you don't need to buy your own router. We provide you a virtual router, and with that router, you are able to interconnect to your customers of your or the companies that you would like. So we are always trying to reinvent ourselves, not staying put, not stopping, but always trying to reinvent ourselves and to keep up with the technology, with the market tendencies, and really transforming ourselves. So I think by till the end of this year, we'll be able to really present our new services and really present what we have in our roadmap and start offering new differentiated services to our customers. But mainly in terms of us becoming a digital service provider.
I agree with your vision totally. I've been in the telecom marketplace for many years since I graduated from college. And we always call it move up the value-added services chain. So I've seen it occur in the microwave networks. I've seen it occur in the digital radio networks and fiber and now the international connectivity. So you're exactly right, Angelo. You need to find ways to move up the value-added chain. So it'll be, I'll wait with bated breath to see the new products and services that Angelo Cables brings out over the next year or two. So that's fantastic. Now, a much simpler question for you, which I always ask our guests at the end of the program. When you want to relax and when you want to get away and be a tourist in Angola, where do you go? What do you recommend people to visit and see when they come to Angola? Where are your favorite places, Angelo?
Well, my own's, it's not difficult. I like going to Benguela. I like going to Benguela a lot. I like going to Malange. I think Malange here with the Kalandula waterfalls, the Punganongo rocks, and actually the whole Malange is really nice. It's really interesting to go. It's not far from Luanda, so it's not far from the capital. You can make it in a weekend. You can go on Saturday morning and then come back on Sunday evening, and it's such a nice trip. There's so many views that you guys will like. If you don't want to go far, because you cannot take some days off, just on the weekend, here in near Luanda, we have Cabuledo, and I always trying to go there in Cabuledo for a nice relaxation on a Sunday or Saturday for lunch. If you want to stay over, you can stay over. They have a lot of hotels there that you can stay over. Or if you want to see animals, you can also go. You can also go to Kisama, which is a national park, just here in the Barra do Kwanza, and you can go to Kisama and for a nice and calm, how do you call it, safari, and see some wildlife. We're only at less than 100 kilometers from Luanda, and you can do a whole safari there and go to the safari and then come back to Luanda on the same day, so and have lunch there even. If you want to do some on my quiet days that I want to do some sporting, I go and play golf in Barra do Kwanza. We have a nice set of 18 holes in Barra do Kwanza, which were about to go into the international tour, golfing tour, but because of COVID, it wasn't able to do that. But I think in the near future, we are going to be on the roadmap this worldwide tour for golfing. So there's a few things, I wouldn't say a lot, there's a few things that you can do here in Angola and near Luanda that for sure that you on the weekend, on the weekends, you will not be bored at home or looking at the window. You can go and do something, a lot of things, and mainly being more in a close contact with nature.
Those are all fantastic recommendations. Thank you so much. And I can vouch for the beauty of Angola when you leave the city of Luanda and go out into the countryside. It's just a beautiful place to go. And the places you mentioned are marvelous to visit. So fantastic recommendations. Thank you very much. Now, as we're wrapping up, Angelo, is there anything of importance that you would like to stress that maybe we didn't highlight during our conversation, or have we covered everything pretty much that you would like to cover? What do you think?
I think we have. I think it was a nice talk. It wasn't like an interview. It was a nice talk. Thank you for that, Doug. I think I'm pretty much done.
Okay.
You guys are okay.
Oh, well, it's been a wonderful conversation. I always like talking with you. We need to do it more often, and hopefully we can have you on the program again in the not-too-distant future. Once again, I really appreciate you taking the time. I know you're extremely busy. And...
Well, call me back when we launch the new company.
This okay.
Digital ISP.
That's a good idea, and we'll do that, and then we'll have you on to talk about that when it's launched. That's a deal. Thank you very much.
Well, I said new company. It's not a new company. It's just like a transformed company.
So yeah, it's transformed. You're moving up the value chain.
It's a transformed company, a lot of digitalized, transformed company with a lot of new services that would like, just like you said, we'll go a little bit up the ladder and provide value-added services to our existing infrastructure.
Okay, well, that's a deal. Once we hear it's launched, we'll invite you to come back on and talk about that. That's fantastic. So once again, I want to say thank you so much. I know you're a very busy man with your job, and we appreciate you taking the time to come by and talk to us, and we'll have you on after the launch of the new services. So thank you again, Angelo.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
Okay. What a great conversation and what a great guy. I always enjoy talking to Angelo. He's a really terrific person. Sounds like a lot of things going on there at Angola Cables today, and a lot going on in the future. We wish them a lot of luck. I know you are going away from this conversation now knowing a lot more about Angola Cables, what they do, and how you may be able to use their services. It was a terrific show. Really enjoyed the conversation, and we'll definitely have him back on after they've launched their new digital services and reformed the company. So that'll be exciting to have Angelo back for that. So thank you very much. This is Angola West Africa, and do us a favor. Tell a friend, at least one friend, about the podcast, and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, BuzzFeed, or whatever platform that you use to listen to our podcast. So for now, this is Douglas Black saying be safe, take care, use a mask, get your vaccination, and come back next week when we have another exciting interview for you here on Angola West Africa. Thank you very much, and bye for now.